My name is Anna Porter, and I am a writer, and I've been a publisher for longer than I care to admit. I first met Irving Layton in 1969, right after I started working for Jack McClelland, Irving's publisher of many years. Jack, who often denigrated his own talent as an editor, was in the habit of telling Irving that he, Jack, had no ideas about poetry whatsoever, so he would assign Irving to others with more courage in this area. This, however, did not stop Jack from expressing his views in private to the unfortunate person who had then to share these views with the poets. With Irving, expressing views about his poems would have taken more courage than I had at the time or since. What I did instead was argue that some individual poems were more brilliant than others, although all of them were up to the standards of Shakespeare and Milton, as indeed many of them still are. In this way, I survived 8 or 9 of his wildly successful poetry collections, including The Collected, which he corrected with The Uncollected for all the poems we had left out. He was a marvelous man, passionate, funny, ribald, extraordinarily well-read, brilliantly opinionated on a broad range of subjects, including boxing, and one day I'd like to find out whether the Syrian kid really did break his nose. Contemporary and ancient politics, contemporary and ancient poets, the Greeks, the Romans, the Russians, the Soviet Empire, Marxism, fascism, religion, fads, fetishes, socialism, women, of course. He was an awesome storyteller about his mother, who, as most of you know, should have been his father. About his father, about whom I will not speak. About the miracle of his birth, and you all know what I mean, about the Arctic region of the old apartment in Montreal, and about the territorial wars among street gangs. And I was mentioning the area to Jack Rabinovich just last night, because he remembers all of those landscapes and the street gangs. His adventures in love and literature, and about Shelley and Keats and A.M. Klein and David Lewis and Maxim Gorky, and how he got his degree in agriculture, and how he met and fell in love with Aviva. He did, and I have it framed in our house still. Write a poem for me once. It is called Anna, and it is in the selected love poems of Irving Layton. And I'm going to read you 2 very short bits from the beginning, just because I'm really proud of having this. You know, I mean, how many of you have a poem? I mean, I know Aviva has lots, but, you know, it doesn't count. I didn't marry the guy. That's true. Actually, now that I think about it, Aviva, didn't you marry another poet altogether? Leonard, perhaps? Never mind. It's another story. Okay, here is the 4 Anna poem, the first 2 stanzas. You wanted a perfect setting for your old world beauty. Post-war Hungarian. A downtown Toronto bar sleazy with young whores, pimps, small-time racketeers remembering boyhood Christmases in Elmira. Plus 1 poet pissed to the gills, by turns raving or roaring like an acid head, then suddenly silent, like the inside of a glass, and so it goes. But I'll spare you the rest for now. I do recommend the poem. It's wonderful. I was reading over Irving, as I actually frequently do, and just the last few weeks I was reading more of Irving than usual because I was trying to find the poem that I wanted to read, not the one that I just read. But I did come across one that I thought I would read. It's very short. And it's in A Wild Peculiar Joy, selected 4582. And it goes like this. It grew from nothing inside me. It grew in my veins and arteries, in my bones and flesh. It mastered my blood. One day I found it curled up in my skull, under my useless tongue. Now I have nothing to say to anyone. Well, that ain't true, Irving. That's it.